I'm Jason Michael Perry, and this is Thoughts on Tech and Things. Today, we're talking about data centers, the kind of infrastructure most of us never think about until suddenly is being proposed in our neighborhoods. And across Maryland, especially in Prince George's County and Montgomery County, that's exactly what's happening. Communities are showing up at public meetings, holding signs, and pushing back against plans to build or convert existing properties into data centers. What used to feel like a far-off, invisible part of the internet has become a very local fight. A lot of this tension comes from how our power grid actually works. Maryland only purchases about 40% of the electricity we use, so we share the rest through PJM, a regional grid that connects us with more than a dozen other states. So when big decisions get made, new data centers, new power needs, new infrastructure, the effects ripple across the entire network. To get into this, I'm joined by WAMU reporter Jenny Abamu, who's been inside these meetings and talking to the residents living this debate in real time. But first, let's look at the headlines that show why this moment matters. Let's get started with NVIDIA, because right now, they're the biggest company in the world, larger than Apple, Microsoft, or anyone else. And this week, they posted another huge quarter, more than $50 billion in revenue, most of that on chips for data centers. To put that in perspective, NVIDIA used to make its money selling graphic cards for video games. That was their identity for decades. Now gaming looks tiny compared to the demand for AI chips powering data centers around the world. A lot of people expected this quarter to reveal whether we're in an AI bubble, whether the hype was actually catching up to reality. Instead, NVIDIA's results basically told the world, if this is a bubble, it's a bubble that's still expanding, at least for the next few months. This AI spinning wave isn't slowing down. And proof to point, OpenAI. Because if NVIDIA shows that there's demand, OpenAI is showing the scale of that demand. This month, OpenAI announced a partnership with Foxconn, the company that builds Apple's iPhone, to manufacture AI hardware in the U.S. That's impressive on its own, just by itself, but it's nothing compared to the next part. OpenAI now has $1.4 trillion in data center commitments. That's trillion with a T. That's the size of a federal agency, and it tells you that this AI bottleneck isn't just research ideas. It's building land, it's electricity, it's places to put all these servers. When the biggest tech companies in the world, spending trillions, every state in the country feels the pressure to listen, whether they're ready or not. And this brings us to Virginia. If you don't know it, Virginia is the data center capital of the world. Loudoun County alone has more than 100 massive data centers, and they keep building them. But when Virginia plugs in another giant cluster of AI servers, PJM, the regional power network that provides power across the Mid-Atlantic region, spreads the cost across all of us, meaning Maryland could end up paying hundreds of millions of dollars through rate increases, electricity upgrades tied to data centers, even if we're not building them here in our own backyard. With tech companies pouring trillions into data centers and NVIDIA becoming the biggest company on Earth, it's no surprise this tension is spilling into Maryland politics. Let's get into it with Jenny. If you live in Maryland, you've probably heard more about data centers lately than you ever have before. For years, these buildings have quietly powered everything from email to Netflix, often tucked away in industrial or commercial zones most of us have never noticed. But as Maryland and Governor Wes Moore push to attract more of them, a wave of opposition has started to build. Residents worried about power lines, land use, and what critical infrastructure really means for them and their communities. To help unpack that, I'm joined by Jenny Abamu, who covers education and infrastructure for WAMU. She's been following how these projects are reshaping conversations about land, power, and community all across the state. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So, Jenny, I know you've been talking to a bunch of folks. I was hoping to just get started by asking you, how did this become such a flashpoint issue? Like, where did this all come from?
So this is fascinating, actually. I would say it really started in Prince George's County as a flashpoint in this area. And I saw data centers mobilize Prince George's County residents in a way that I have not seen any other issue mobilize them in years. And I say that to say that people came out and protest against what they saw as the county basically bringing in data centers without their consent. Initially, this started, I would say, people looking in Virginia and seeing what they had. There was a lot of envy for the money that could come in, things like that, into the county. And Prince George's County, just to set level set with everyone, is dealing with a development, I would say a development disaster at this point. They're struggling. The county has lost the Commander Stadium. They have lost, Six Flags just recently closed, ran its last few rides. They lost the FBI headquarters at this point. They're still saying they're still fighting for it. If you ask the senators, they're still fighting for it. But the Trump administration has basically said that the FBI headquarters will remain in Washington, D.C. and not be built out in Greenbelt and Prince George's County, which was supposed to be a huge source of jobs and revenue for the county to have that, and was a huge win that was 15 years in the making for them. So this is a big deal that that's not coming to that area. And so they have all these things that's just not panning out.
And I think to put that in perspective, like the economics around this and why this is so enormous, Microsoft has pledged something like $250 billion into Azure, which is their data center platform, to build out things for OpenAI. Amazon is talking about $4 billion. There's this thing called Stargate, which is this big infrastructure project with Oracle as well as OpenAI to build data centers to meet the demand that we have for artificial intelligence. And I just want to quickly just describe data centers for people who are not familiar. These are just gigantic warehouses full of computers. That's the best way to think of it. It's just a whole bunch of computers row for row sitting physically. And you may think of the word cloud. This is the embodiment of the physical cloud that's sitting around. But we're talking real money. And, I mean, it's easy to see why in the situation that you just described, why you would think that Montgomery County would benefit so much from all of this money that is being invested.
And so, yeah, and I haven't even got to even Montgomery County yet, right? Just starting with Prince George's County, they passed a lot of laws in 2020. And this was even before all of this was lost, because they were still struggling economically at that time. And the idea was, okay, let's get some of these data centers in here. They literally said they wanted a shovel in the ground in 90 days. Wow. So they passed a bunch of legislation that changed a lot of the zoning rules so that different types of places that you normally wouldn't see perhaps a data center, like the mall sites, like shopping centers, like other types of rural real estate, could be data centers. And so data centers could be basically develop in several places all over the county based on the laws that were passed. And for years, nothing happened. Then, suddenly, with all of these companies exiting, you started to hear council members in Prince George's County start to talk more and more about bringing data centers in. I think Edward Burroughs was the first one to say it on our airways, was like, oh, our answer is going to be data centers. This is our response to all of these things leaving our county. We need to bring this in to bring in the revenue. And even the Commander Stadium, he kind of criticized for not bringing enough money in. So he wanted to bring in those data centers to respond to the revenue crisis that they were experiencing. At first, I would say it was like kind of like under the radar. They said it, but they didn't describe where it was. It wasn't clear what they were talking about or that there was even any kind of proposal anywhere on a table. And then suddenly people began to talk about it more. And I think the county executive in particular, her kind of pronouncing that data centers is something that she's actively looking at. It came out that this particular site that used to be a mall and is relatively closer to residences was one of the sites that had a permit that was not a permit yet, but had a request for them to create a data center in that space. And people were like not okay with it because they realized how close it was to their homes. There were a lot of reasons why people could say there was opposition to it. Jolene Ivey says she's one of the council members in Prince George's County. She says like people have fond memories of going to the mall and they don't want to think of that as a giant cement block in the middle outside of their home. And there's also the question about noise pollution and we can get into all that later.
So I'm from New Orleans. So I followed this idea that Better built a data center in Louisiana. It was a $10 billion project that some are now calling the Digital Cancer Alley, or saying that potentially this is something that is ruining the water or causing noise pollution or potentially other types of pollution. There was a similar story about Elon Musk's Grok facility in Memphis. He was fined multiple times because he had essentially was these power sources, gas turbines, that were generating methane gas and were causing all types of air quality violations. And it's interesting to think about these things because at the same time that we're hearing about this, a lot of data centers have been around for a long time. I'll put it in the show notes, but there's a website that you can go to see a data center map of all the data centers that are around. And Virginia, of course, is the data center capital of America. But here in Maryland, there are 44 data centers. Just in Baltimore alone, there are like 14 data centers. And I doubt most people realize that, you know, if you're at Lexington Market here in Baltimore, there are like two data centers that are right there that you may not know. I have a friend that
the size and scope of those are different, right?
Like, they are different.
this has been the kind of debate a little bit, because there's another data center in Silver Spring in Montgomery County. And Silver Spring, for those who don't know, is a pretty densely populated area in Montgomery County. It's small. Normally, that doesn't disturb anyone. But the idea is that some people are looking at expanding it. So then there's questions about, well, what does expansion look like in such a densely populated area? What does that mean for all these other concerns that people bring up in those type of areas? Because that changes the entire dynamics, the size and the scope of these projects.
I agree. I mean, I guess some of this, when you think of the size of an entire mall, that's a gigantic facility. That's a huge facility, as opposed to something that maybe feels a little bit more urban or that you don't notice. And as I mentioned, I think earlier, that beforehand, these were typically in more industrial commercial zones, not as necessarily as close to residential neighborhoods. But it sounds like a lot of this fear is, what is the impact? Like, it's in my backyard, and that changes things.
And this is, I would say the difference between the center that was proposed, I'm not sure if it's still on the table right now, because there's a lot of fire in Prince George's County about that Landover Mall site in particular, is that is closer to residences. And even council members will tell you, like, I wouldn't have picked that spot as the main spot. This is what they've said to me, at least. And even though they zoned it and they changed all the zoning laws so that it was able to be there, right now there's a lot of questions about, should it be so close to residences? Whereas in Montgomery County, the proposed massive data development that already has conditional approval there, that one is a little bit further out. That is at an old coal plant site. And that's a much more sparsely populated area. There's not that many people out there. There's not even that many roads going out there. The main issue that people have with that site is the fact that the water that the center is pulling comes directly from the Potomac and goes directly back in. And there's a lot of questions about that.
Yeah. I know Montgomery County and Prince George's County are your focus. But at the same time, here in Maryland, there's this talk about the Piedmont Power Line, which goes through a generally rural area. And I don't know how many people know this, but 40% of Maryland's energy is imported from external sources. And part of the reason that they're bringing this power line in is to provide more external power, which is a thing that's needed to power some of these data centers, which is, you know, crazy to think that we don't have the power here in Maryland to actually power these. But that also speaks to that this is a war on two different turfs. You know, there are rural communities who are fighting back and saying, don't do this on my land. But then we have, you know, more urban communities that are saying the same thing. And then you have a state that's looking at obviously growing deficits for many reasons and saying, here's an opportunity to not only see land reuse, but also an opportunity for us to rekindle some of this economic development to have an impact. I say that just because I wonder, from the people that we've talked to, is there a plan that you're hearing that makes sense? Is there an area? I guess maybe it just depends on different communities, right?
It's complicated, right? Like, so people are, depends on the constituency, of course. Like, of course. There are some people that I've talked to who are no data center. They don't care what the cause is. There are videos, if you see on social, from some of the actors there. And I think that's really where in Prince George's County a lot of the information spread was through social media on those data centers. But there's one video in particular that I watched where the guy goes through the process of acceptance with the data centers. And then he goes through a process of compromising with the council. And then he shows everybody dead. And it's like, right? And that's, you know, we would all, most people would say that might be a little bit of hyperbole over there. But these are the depth of the voices in terms of how strongly people feel about these centers. And then you also have people on a very different side. I talked to council member Marilyn Balcom in Montgomery County. She's like, there was a coal plant there and they want to build a data center there. Right now, there's an inactive coal plant in Montgomery County and they're talking about turning that into a data center. I mean, you could, different parties would argue they closed the coal plant for a reason and they don't want to put something else there that might be, whatever, have also environmental impacts. But she's looking at Loudoun County and she's saying, like, look, their schools are fully funded.
Yeah.
What's going on with our schools? And they had the issue of needing billions of dollars in infrastructure development for their schools, for their HVACs, mold everywhere. You know, it's a serious situation. And so they're looking at Loudoun, and there's a lot of Loudoun envy that happens in Maryland about what's happening in Virginia. People often say, why can't we have what they have? You know, right now, the governor stepped in and funded all of SNAP. They got tax rebates. Maryland's taxes are going up. There's a lot of debate that people are having about why is Maryland in the situation that it's in and are there other opportunities? The data centers are funding their schools.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a huge part of the story. You know, there's this talk of the you know, a lot of the money that comes in from data centers happens up front. It's the construction money that's used. And this hires thousands of people and brings in a ton of revenue in terms of taxes, as well as physicians, their employment to help build these things. And, you know, like you're saying, that's real revenue. That's real value that the state of Virginia has been recouping for a while now. But also the other side of this, which is that there's a lot of that upfront money. The construction is huge revenue. But the secondary part, once the data centers are built, they don't really bring in a lot of employees. There's a skeleton staff is the best way to describe it in terms of the amount of folks that are there. Now, these are very high-paying jobs. These are six-figure positions, but maybe it's 50 people per data center. It's not a ton.
If that.
Yeah, if that. I would agree. But at the same time, there's so much potential, just like you were saying, in a case where how do you fix this tax gap at a time where we would love to be able to funding schools would be amazing, right?
I mean, Maryland's budget situation, I don't know if you all are following the last session, right? There was that $3 billion deficit that had to be closed, and we were getting fees on everything from tire changes to, you know, your registration, and you kind of walked outside and felt like you had a fee on you. And so like, people, you know, these are real situations that people are experiencing. And so the governor is looking for revenue sources, and are data centers the best one to do that? That's unclear for a lot of people. And there's a debate of the cost, right? Because the actual cost of electricity, are you charging ratepayers more money because of the data centers that are in the space or because of what's being pulled off of the grid? I spoke to Jason Stanek, who is part of PJM, which is the PJM, which is part of the regulators for the grids.
Yeah.
And he was telling me, you know, I asked him, I was like, are we paying for Virginia? Like, I really want to know, like, be straight up. Is this something that's happening? Are Marylanders paying for what's happening in Virginia? And he was like, well, we try to keep costs to whoever it goes to and things like that. But then he also mentioned that the grid does need to be updated, that Maryland benefits from those updates, but Maryland also pays for those updates. And part of the reason the grid needs to be updated is because of everything pulling from it.
Yeah.
And so in some ways, Maryland is already paying for data centers that don't even exist in the state sometimes or in your local county. And so these are real debates and things that people are going to be having, whether you get a data center or not. Are rolling blackouts coming to Maryland if we don't update the grid, if we don't get more energy sources because of everything that's happening around us and because of the fact that we don't generate enough energy in this state by itself? Mark Alvarez said he thinks it's before the projected date that PJM has. PJM said July 2027 that they're predicting rolling blackouts throughout Maryland if we don't have more sources of energy coming to the state. Mark Alvarez was telling me, who's a county executive in Montgomery County, he thinks it's happening before that because of the things that are coming onto the grid.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's a lot sooner. I'm not sure how, if you've been to Houston lately, but Texas has a lot of issues with their grid. And one of the last times that I was in Houston, my hotel had lost electricity for a day because of, you know, blackouts that were going through because the state was trying to, or at least the city was trying to cut back on energy use. And it was just you would get a date and for however many hours right there by the airport, no power. It was crazy. But I mean, that's a real possibility when you talk about taxing the grid, especially, again, going back to that number, 40% of the power for Maryland coming from out of state. And it's also the reason why that power line is so important, because it's like, how do you get more power from more of the regional players? The big announcement, maybe this was 9 months ago or a year ago, as data centers started to pop up, was the fact that Three Mile Island, you know, the nuclear power plant that was closed several decades ago, it's reopening, you know, and there's this new investment in nuclear power and other forms of energy because of this current situation where there's so much demand for energy usage. And this is just going to keep going. I mean, even if the data centers are not built here, they're needed in order to meet the needs of AI and its growing technology. And so it's this question of where are they going to come from? They're going to go somewhere. And increasingly, states are, if it's not Maryland, other states, maybe Virginia, are willing to do what they can to bring them into their own. Yeah, sorry.
It's a real question. Like, who is going to bear the burden of the cost? Because also that's the thing. It kind of is an indirect tax, if you think about it. Like, if you're paying for the data center to run or these data centers to be built by higher energy cost or your water, your air, you know, all of these things. Is that an indirect tax to people? These are real questions that I haven't had a chance to go into my reporting yet, but I do plan to, because these are things that people are bringing up, like how much profit are people actually seeing, or communities actually seeing from the data centers that are being built in their communities. I know when I was in, I talked to an official who's a planning, deputy director of planning in Prince Williams County. And right now he received a directive from the Board of Supervisors to look into eliminating their data center overlay zone, which allows them to build by right in that county. And they're struggling. He told me that people live in their basements because they can't live in their rest of their house because the noise is so loud. Because there's so many. And I was shocked to hear such a thing, because it's like, wow, people, you imagine buying your house and you can't live in it. You have to stay in the basement because the noise pollution is so prevalent in your space. And, you know, these are the things that they're dealing with in their county.
Yeah. What I find the most fascinating about this is that as a technologist, it's something that has been so invisible to so many people for so long. It's easy to talk about the cloud or to think about, you know, watching whatever TV streaming services or music streaming and not realize all of the infrastructure that's around you to power those things. And, you know, when you look at AWS, Amazon, and all of the infrastructure to power the internet and the cloud, these are these data centers, and we haven't really realized it. And it's amazing to see something that has been so just behind the scenes become not only very visible, but also extremely controversial.
That's something that the council member, Marilyn Balcom, who has a data center in her district, was talking about in Montgomery County. She basically said, everyone's complaining about data centers, but nobody's stopping using data. Yes. And so, like, everyone's still using data. She's like, how are we talking right now on the phone or whatever it might be? We're all still using all of this data and powering everything by data and making all our decisions through all these cloud systems and data run systems. And so we're perpetuating the problem while also complaining about it is basically what she was saying. And so it's an interesting dilemma for Americans, because, I mean, isn't ChatGPT one of the most visited websites in the world now? And so you're dealing with that at the same time. Where do you put all these things that host all this information?
Maybe it's time to lock all your devices away. But Jenny, it's been amazing having you. Jenny Abamu reports for WAMU. She covers education infrastructure in Prince George's and Montgomery County. You can read her latest work at WAMU.org, and I'm looking forward to learning more about what's happening in data centers in Maryland.
So happy to be here, and follow me on TikTok.
If you're looking for something to take your mind off of data centers, here's an interesting one. Two developers, Raleigh Waltz and Luke Igel, built a Gmail lookalike called Jmail, which lets you browse 20,000 emails from Jeffrey Epstein. It's a pretty interesting app, and it's also interesting to kind of browse through these things just like you would your own email account. If you got thoughts on today's show, questions, or ideas for future episodes, you can reach me at jasonandperry.com. You can also tap in the WYPR app to leave us a message. New episodes drop every other Wednesday, and we've got some great conversations lined up. Thanks to the team at WYPR, our producer, Sam Burmes-Dawes, and Perry Labs Head of Operations and Marketing, Myrna Martinez. I'm Jason Michael Perry. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.